The time is 4:59. Coming up next is the KBOO Evening News.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on our hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News, the U.S. Department of Education releases a list of schools being investigated for mishandling sexual assault.
The City of Seattle announces a raise in the minimum wage to $15 an hour.
And a massive landslide in Afghanistan leads to thousands of missing people.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Friday, May 2nd, 2014. KBOO is currently in our membership drive, and we'd like to urge you to become a member by calling 877-500-5266. I'm Jackie Malmstrom.
And I'm Liam Delta. Yesterday was May Day, the day workers from all across the world come together to celebrate work and demand more workers' rights. To join in on the celebration, Seattle Mayor Ed Murray announced a new wage plan that affects all workers in the city. KBOO reporter Ryan Katz has more.
Yesterday afternoon, Seattle Mayor Ed Murray announced that Seattle will raise its minimum wage to $15 an hour over the coming years. In a deal blessed by both labor and business groups, all employers will have to meet the $15 an hour minimum wage by the end of the decade. Businesses with more than 500 employees will have a 3-year phase-in period, while smaller employers will have up to 5 years to increase their wages. After employees reach that $15 an hour pay floor, the city's minimum wage will automatically go up by 2.4%. each year, regardless of the rate of inflation. Washington State currently has the highest minimum wage of any state at $9.32 per hour. Thursday's deal means that Seattle is the largest such municipality with the highest minimum wage in the country. Heather Weiner with 15 for Seattle thinks that this means that Seattle will attract more business growth in the future. More money in workers' pockets means more economic spending.
Think about it. In 2017, we'll have over $100 million more in workers' pockets that they can spend going out to eat, on car repair, on rent, on paying their bills, on buying clothes for their kids. I think that businesses are going to want to move to Seattle because we're going to have such an economic boost.
Weiner says that this most recent success dates back to last year's May Day when fast food workers went on strike for fair pay.
Over the last year, fast food workers in the city have gone on strike. They've done marches. They've had actions. Fast food workers have been laid off for speaking out against low wages and mistreatment, and that has really engendered an enormous amount of public support for change here in the city.
Experts estimate that there are 102,000 workers currently working in Seattle earning less than $15 an hour. Weiner says that employees at big businesses will start to see change immediately.
It helps the majority of workers first. We estimate that more than 50% of low-wage workers in Seattle work for these large companies like McDonald's, Burger King, Target, and so on. And so we think that those folks are going to see immediate boosts in their paycheck.
Questions previously arose as to how this new plan would be enforced. Weiner says that workers will be able to submit a complaint to a third party if their business is not complying with the new law.
We have a very strong enforcement provision that includes a nonprofit enforcement one-stop shop for people to get enforcement if they feel like they are not getting the pay that they need. And that will also help businesses figure out their compliance requirements.
Weiner says that instead of a ballot initiative that would have put the vote in the hands of the people, now is the time to implement a $15 an hour minimum wage due to the movement's political capital.
So one of the great things here is that we do have business buy-off on this, which means that the National Restaurant Association, which, as you may know, has put in millions of dollars to kill every progressive initiative that comes out of the state. You know, by having this, their support on this and their buy-off on it, that means we will not have the business community's enormous electoral bank here in Seattle fighting. and that's good.
Another group, endorsed by Socialist City Council member Kushama Sawant, is gathering signatures on a petition for a $15 minimum wage. It remains to be seen whether Seattle Mayor Ed Murray's plan will offer everything that progressives hope for. This is Ryan Katz for KBOO News.
A group of protesters plan to gather outside the National Security Agency headquarters tomorrow to challenge the continued use of military drones by U.S. agencies. KBOO's Jenka Soderberg spoke with one of the protest organizers.
Can you tell us about your action to demand NSA involvement in drone warfare?
Yeah. Well, we've been doing a lot of a number of different actions to try to address the issue of drone warfare. Last June, for example, we were at the CIA, and five of us were arrested there. And tomorrow, now we're going to the NSA, which is in Fort Meade, Maryland, and we're concerned because the NSA is involved in illegally obtaining and providing information to the president and others in the executive branch to help with help them in, you know, deciding who that they're going to be dropping the drone bombs on. And so we've written a letter to Vice Admiral Michael Rogers, who's the director of the NSA, and told him what our concerns are and told him that we would like to meet with him tomorrow. And we haven't heard anything back from him, but we do plan to go to the NSA tomorrow. There's going to be a group of us going with our letter in hand and demanding the meeting and demanding that they end their involvement in drone warfare.
So what is the content of the letter that you have submitted to Vice Admiral Rogers?
We give some examples to him of some of the things that are going on that we're concerned with. For example, in 2011 in Yemen, CIA drone attacks were used to kill Anwar al-Awlaki, and weeks later they killed his 16-year-old son. There was Malala Yousafzai who talked to the president and told him that she was honored to meet him, but that she raised concerns with him about their use of drones. So it's different examples of things that really have been in the media and, you know, that things that people should know about what's going on. And we're calling them to his attention and saying, you know, we just have to stop all of this. You know, we're disturbed by the lack of transparency and oversight by Congress and just the involvement that they have in this and not doing anything to stop it. The bombs are ordered to be dropped on civilian populations. There's absolutely no due process. We're throwing away our Constitution and everything that we would hope we would be standing for.
How has your group been able to determine the number of civilians killed in drone strikes? The U.S. government keeps the information secret, and a study by Bureau of Investigative Journalism found that in the 397 drone strikes since Obama took office have killed over 2,100 people, 279 of which they estimate were innocent civilians. And I wonder, how are you finding numbers in the thousands of innocent civilians?
Well, yeah, the number of people killed is in the thousands, and our government can say that most of them are not innocent civilians. But what our government does is they categorize any military age male, that's any male from the age of 18 to 65, as an enemy combatant, and in that way they can. You know, the numbers just really are not accurate that the government's giving us.
I've been speaking with Joy First. She's a member of the National Campaign for Nonviolent Resistance that is organizing a protest tomorrow on May 3rd in Maryland at the headquarters of the National Security Agency to end drone warfare against U.S. citizens and foreign citizens abroad. This is Jenka Soderberg reporting for KBOO News.
KBOO volunteers have stepped up their game to bring you this locally produced newscast every evening. Now we ask you to do the same. Joining us now are Dan and Jenka to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
And we are here. Thank you very much. First thing we want to do is thank the folks that have provided food for us. Petite Province at 4834 Southeast Division. Riyadh's Lebanese at 1318 Southeast Hawthorne. And West Cafe at 1201 Southwest Jefferson. Thanks to each and every one of you. Hey, that number, just as a reminder, you've only heard it a few times, 877-500-5266. That's the number to call. That's where you take your first step in becoming a member of the great KBOO community. Is it $5 you can afford? $7? $10? What is it that you're able to help us with? Whatever it might be, the first thing you must do is pick up the phone and talk to one of our folks in this room who will give you all the information, take information from you, and before long, we'll all sing Kumbaya and everybody will be happy. All right.
And what you're hearing in the background are the volunteers taking calls. We didn't quite reach our goal of $500 last hour, so we need to make that up this hour. See, every time we have a goal, it's a minimum, and that $500 is a minimum, and we'd like to raise even more than that. So this time, we're going to have to go double. Let's raise $1,000 this hour for the KBOO Evening News. I know that we can do it because the people who listen to the KBOO Evening News are smart, you're beautiful, you're intelligent, you listen to the news, and you know that this news is important, and it keeps coming to you. It keeps you informed day after day. It keeps you sane and connected. It keeps you from engaging in horrible acts of road rage when you're stuck in traffic and you're stuck in the I-5 and you can't get out of it, because you know that you're connected to this community, this larger world of social change through KBOO. And I want you to take that and take that energy that you get from the evening news and from the power that you get of listening to this newscast and dial right now and give $10 a month, give $20 a month, give whatever you can give, 877-500-5266. Dig a little deeper and make it happen.
And the nice thing about it, all that news is volunteer-powered. So, you know, what more could you ask for? These are folks that are committed to providing the best and the edgiest in news. Why don't you become a part of it? We want you. We need you. We're here for 45 years. We want to be here for 145 more. So pick up the phone right now, 877-500-5266. Go online to kboo.fm. Click on the link that says join now, and you're all set, because then you'll be able to say, I'm a part of the great KBOO community. 877-500-5266.
Today, clashes between groups in southern Ukraine caused a fire that killed over 30 people. The fire broke out in the House of Trade Unions, a government building seized by protesters. Odessa is a mid-sized port city in the southwestern part of Ukraine, not far from Crimea. Due to this location, there are significant amounts of Russian residents in the city. There is no word yet as to how the fire started. Also today, President Obama and German Chancellor Angela Merkel promised greater sanctions against Russia if its interest in Ukraine's upcoming presidential elections in June, if it interferes, excuse me. Russia, mostly through Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, has denied any such allegations.
In the latest news from U.S.-occupied Afghanistan, more than 13 people died from a detonated car bomb in the northeastern province of Panjshir. Among the dead were 5 police officers, 1 intelligence officer, and 7 construction workers. In a press release, the Taliban took responsibility for the attack. Panjshir was an area of wide resistance to the Taliban's regime in the late 90s. The Taliban hoped to disrupt forthcoming elections in the region, home to presidential candidate Abdullah Abdullah, who's seeking office in June. In other Afghani news, more than 1,000 people are missing after a massive landslide in the north of the country. According to the provincial governor in the district of Badakhshan, thousands of tons of mud and rock detached from a hill near the border with Tajikistan. He estimated nearly 900 people died, buried in dirt 10 to 30 feet deep. If the number of casualties is confirmed in the coming days, it would make it the biggest natural disaster in 16 years.
2 weeks ago in northern Nigeria, militants belonging to the armed group Boko Haram kidnapped over 200 girls from a secondary school. Now, a local human rights group announced that the group is forcing the girls to marry their members. The Borno Yobe People's Forum says that the girls are being sold for around $12 each. Some of them have been trafficked to nearby countries such as Cameroon or Chad. While around 50 of the girls were able to escape, the human rights group reports that around 220 are still missing. The day before the kidnapping, Boko Haram killed 75 people in a bus bombing in Abuja, Nigeria's capital. And today, another blast occurred close to the site of the previous one, killing at least a dozen people and wounding several more. No one has yet claimed responsibility for the attack. It comes right before the meeting of the World Economic Forum on Africa, which is set to take place in Abuja next week.
You're listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. We'd like to remind you that you can call to renew your KBOO membership or become a member anytime during this program by calling 877-500-5266. Stay tuned for Counterspin at 6. At 7, Hard Knock Radio, news, views, and hip-hop. Tomorrow's weather, a high of 63 with showers. And then Sunday about the same with a high of 60. In today's Radcast, the only citizen-led radiation count on the air, radiation levels for today are 32 counts per minute in North Portland. Eugene measures 31 counts per minute, and Seattle shows an average radiation count of 33 CPM. EPA alert levels start at 100 CPM. More information can be found at radcast.org. On May 2, 1986, the city of Chernobyl was evacuated after a catastrophic nuclear accident occurred at a nearby power plant. And exactly 3 years ago today, Osama bin Laden was killed by U.S. Navy SEALs in the northeastern Pakistani city of Abbottabad. The quote of the day comes from Paulo Freire. He died on today's date in 1997. Attempting to liberate the oppressed without their reflective participation in the act of liberation is to treat them as objects that must be saved from a burning building.
It's 5:18. Time for Daily Comment from Jim Hightower.
From the Gatling gun to the nuclear bomb, from hot air balloons to drones, the military has enlisted scientists to develop ever more effective war technologies. But now comes a long-sought scientific breakthrough that the military brass considers the ultimate advantage for battlefield effectiveness. Ready-to-eat pizzas. With the spare-no-expense determination usually associated with something like the Manhattan Project, teams of the best scientific minds at the U.S. Army Natick Soldier Research and Engineering Center have been focused intently on this secret pizza project. It seems that the combat troops have been asking, even begging, that the individual field rations they get, called meals ready to eat, include pizza. Not easily done, however. MREs are prepackaged, shipped to faraway combat zones, and stored for months. Problem is that the sauce, cheese, and toppings of pizza contain moisture that turns the dough soggy, allowing bacteria to grow, spoil the pie, and poison the eaters. Using humectants, food engineers were able to stop the moisture from reaching the dough, but that was not the end of it, for the Army was gunning for the holy grail of MREs, A prepackaged pizza that could be stored in 80-degree heat without refrigeration for 3 years and still be fresh. At last, the scientists have announced VP Day. By adding acid to the ingredients and iron filings to the packaging, science has triumphed over nature, delivering a pizza that's literally for the ages. This is Jim Hightower saying, perhaps you're wondering about taste. Well, picky, picky. After 3 years, the crust is not exactly crisp, and the things are not served hot, so these are hardly the pies of Mario Batali. However, Mario doesn't do battlefield deliveries. But wait, that could be a good use of drones.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at hightowerlowdown.org.
You're listening to a membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. Our volunteers work hard every day to bring you this coverage of local, national, and international news. Now it's your turn. Joining us now are Dan and Jenka to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
There are thousands of ways that you can do that, but let me give you one simple example. KBOO has gone into partnership with Friends of Trees, and all contributions at the $75 level or greater can have a tree planted by Friends of Trees in addition to a regular thank you gift. This is time for you to do your part to offset climate change by contributing today. How do you contribute? Pick up the phone and dial 877-500-5266. And it's simple as that, because we have folks back here ready to take your phone call. Jenka, what do you, I know you've been busy going back and forth. So
we're working on the evening newscast on a daily basis here. We've got dozens of volunteers that come in and produce this newscast. Liam and Jackie and Ian are right there in the studio and are making it happen. And we do that only with your support. All of this equipment costs money, all of the time takes that to put this all together, and the training costs us. And if you can give at $75 or above, not only will you get a tree planted in your honor, but you can get a flash drive, 2 gigabyte flash drive filled with exclusive KBOO content, including what's coming up. We got a couple of great specials, Fighting the Neoliberal Agenda on May 9th with John Nichols, Shama Sawant, Move to Amend, Nomi Prinz, former investment banker, A Way Forward for Israel-Palestine, Dismantling the Prison Industrial Complex, just chock full of audio that you can use. You can listen to it anytime that you want. You can share it with your friends. This is all for you, and it's licensed to share. So once you get it, you can share it with whoever you want. That could be your $75 or more membership to KBOO, 877-500-5266, and that can be done as a monthly deduction. So just $625, right, and you get the flash drive.
Let me see if I got this right. You can, for the $75 contribution, you can get a tree planted in your name.
Yep.
And you can also get the flash drive.
Yep.
And this will also get you membership in the great KBOO community.
Yep, that's right. And if people didn't know, you also get a lot of discounts at local businesses when you become a KBOO member. You get a lot of benefits from being a member of this community. And wear your membership proudly. Get a KBOO t-shirt. That's also a $75 membership. You can wear the one that I'm wearing right now, KBOO versus the Media Zillas, where it shows these massive media conglomerates looking like Godzillas taking over the city of Portland. And there is a group of media activists in a little airplane and people looking up saying, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's community radio. $75 pledge and you can get that t-shirt.
877-500-5266, and that will solve the problem right there. Pick up your phone, dial right now. Whether you can do $5, $7, $10, $20, whatever fits your comfort zone is what we want you to make your commitment towards. And the best way to do that is for you to say, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it right now. And how do you do that? By simply dialing 877-500-5266. Go online to kboo.fm. Look for the link that says join now, and you're there.
I know that you value the evening news. I hear from people all the time calling in, giving us news tips, telling us how much they appreciated the news story, trying to find out more about an issue that they heard about on the KBOO Evening News, because we're right here local in your community. You can call us up. You can say, hey, you know, I heard about that drone protest. Can you tell me more? Heard about the May Day protest on KBOO. Can you tell me where and when that's going on? And we'll give you that information because we're right here in your community.
And so it doesn't stop, folks. And to keep in mind, to keep all things in perspective, remember that we're not only talking about things locally, but nationally and internationally. And you hear about it in a different way here on KBOO, in a way that the mainstream media will not broadcast it. So here another version that you will get no place else, and the best way to do it is by dialing right now. Become a member of KBOO. Become a part of the KBOO community. 877-500-5266. We have folks sitting here waiting for you to call that can get you all signed up and ready to go. The important thing is for you to do it and to do it now.
Help us reach our goal for the evening news. You know, maybe you're like me, $75, thinking about it all at once sounds like quite a bit. And I don't think I could handle giving up $75 at a given time, but I could do $6.25 a month. I can make that commitment now and say, I don't need to give you a penny right now, but what I can do is promise that at the end of the month, I will be able to give you $6.25 every month. That helps KBOO sustain itself over the year, over the course of the year. We do that with your support. Call right now, 877-500-5266.
And that's the thank you bell. We want to thank you, Sharif, for his contribution and Linda for renewing hers. That's all right here on KBOO, 877-500-5266, or go online to kboo.fm. Get it out.
KBOO.FM. Thank you so much, Sharif and Linda. And we want to thank you next. We want you to be the next person that we thank on the air for becoming a member or renewing your membership. Maybe you let your membership lapse. Maybe you don't remember the last time that you called in, but you know that it's been a while. Well, give us a call right now and say, yeah, I can do $6.25 a month and pick up a KBOO t-shirt or a flash drive filled with amazing exclusive audio. I can do that and get a tree planted in my honor. That's a doable thing for $6.25 a month. All you have to do is pick up your phone, pull it out of your pocket, 877-500-5266. If you're on your bike, in your car, pull over. You want to be safe when you make that call, but go ahead and do it. 877-500-5266. Support the evening news.
The Department of Education has released a list of 55 universities which are being investigated for how they've handled sexual harassment and assault allegations. The department is investigating schools for violating Title IX, which prohibits sex discrimination in schools that receive federal funding. This is the first time the department has made such a list public. Title IX is best known for requiring schools to allow women and girls to play sports, but it also requires schools to provide a safe environment for female students. It is not enough for schools to investigate claims of rape and sexual harassment. They must also prevent women from being put in unsafe environments, such as classes where they are forced to encounter their attackers. The Obama administration has also released new guidelines on how schools should comply with Title IX. The list includes several large institutions and prestigious schools, such as Princeton, Dartmouth, and the Universities of California in Berkeley and Southern California. No Oregon schools are on the list.
It's springtime. For farmers across the state, that means planting this year's crops. But they're also thinking about next year's tax season and the prospect of receiving a 15% state tax credit for donating some of that food to charity. Governor Kitzhaber signed the Crop Donation Tax Credit Bill into law yesterday. KBOO's Susan Cecil has more in collaboration with the Oregon News Service.
Encouraging farmers to plant an extra row or acre of food for charity is the goal of the Crop Donation Tax Credit. The credit was signed into law on Thursday by Oregon Governor John Kitzhaber. The state used to have a 10% tax credit to help farmers offset the cost of planting and harvesting food donated to the Oregon Food Bank, but it expired a couple of years ago. Ian Tolson with the Oregon Farm Bureau says his organization lobbied this year for a 25% tax credit, but they are pleased with a 15% compromise.
Food crops that get donated come at a cost to the farmer, and that's why we needed a tax credit to be reinstated, and we felt that it should be a little bit higher to really get at a larger amount of produce that is going to the food bank.
The bill reinstating and increasing the crop donation tax credit is the only tax credit legislation that was passed in Salem this year. The governor calls it an important tool for fighting hunger in Oregon.
All the farmers I worked with, they love to donate and they love to help. So if they can afford it, then they would. This will allow more of the small and middle-sized farms to donate more.
This is important for smaller family farm operations that they may have a harder time with the paperwork. For KBOO News, I'm Susan Cecil.
A consumer rights law firm is suing Google for an illegal monopoly on search engines and other Google application in mobile devices. The firm says Google won't allow cell phones and tablets manufacturers to use popular apps such as Google Play and YouTube unless Google is the default search engine. According to the suit, Google uses secret contracts to include the entire suite of Google software on the devices. The agreement stopped the device makers from making revenue, selling space on the devices to other software companies. But the plaintiffs in the lawsuit argue that the agreements hurt the consumer by increasing the cost of cell phones.
Researchers have found that the acidity of the Pacific Ocean is designed